Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Feed Your Faith. I am so excited you are here today with me. I'm going to be sharing my testimony, kind of about how I grew up a fat kid, was the daughter of a major, dieter, my mother, and how I became a really big dieter for most of my life, and just sort of how that journey led me to God and the amazing things that He showed me outside of dieting. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit about one of my favorite scriptures around food and our bodies and what God says. We really need to be focusing on the importance with that so that we can have lives where we're not obsessed with food and we just feel peace and relaxation around it. Super important because it helps us tune into God. And that's really what we all want in the end, isn't it? But before I start the podcast, there's just a few announcements that I want to make, and so I'm just going to jump right into those. We walk along the water. We open up our eyes. Let it go and let it in. One breath to take, one life to live. So excited to be here with you today. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a lowdown of what we're going to be talking about. I'm just going to sort of go over my past history with food and my body image and kind of give you a picture of how I ended up where I am today, which is, someone who doesn't really have food and body image issues anymore and just can eat and feels relaxed around food and peaceful and all these wonderful things that God has blessed me with. But I think it's really important for us to kind of, start at the beginning of my journey and get an idea of just sort of like what that looked like so we can connect more with each other. And I'm also going to be talking about a scripture that was really life-changing for me. And that was Luke 12:29. The scripture is, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." That was something that I didn't just open my Bible and find one day and all was healed and saved. It took a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, but hopefully I'm going to help you guys skip over all that jazz and get right to it, and you don't have to do the digging like I did. So, so we're going to talk a little bit about Luke 12:29 as well, because it's just kind of the jumping off point. It's the starting point for accepting your body as God created you and for eating in a godly way that makes you more of a godly woman. Okay, so let's talk the biggins. And I'm going to call it the biggins because that was my nickname growing up. I think anybody who grew up a fat kid had a nickname. Mine was the Biggins. Such a ridiculous name now that I look back on it, but it was so hurtful at the time. So mine was the Biggins, and I remember when I used to walk anywhere. I went to boarding school, so if I walked anywhere on campus, and this one boy who had come up with this very creative and very heartfelt, obviously, nickname for me, if he saw me walking, he would go boom, ba, ba, boom, ba, ba, boom, ba, ba, boom. The Biggins is coming. And the reason that I'm sharing that with you is because I feel like part of my healing has been able to look back and laugh at this stuff. And I am 100% serious when I say I really do laugh at it. It is absurd, the names that that we come up with for fat people, and there's nicknames for skinny people too. I'm not trying to put anybody in any sort of category, but I just wanted to start the story off letting you know that that was kind of like the prelude to what my entire existence was as a teenager, and being just a fat kid growing up in general. I was the Biggins. So With that being said, I'm just going to let you know that my overweight journey, I guess you could call it, started about the age of 3, although I did not recognize at 3 that I had any kind of weight problem whatsoever. And I say weight problem with quotes because it wasn't a weight problem. You know, it was just me living out my genetic and biological destiny. But at 3 was when I started blossoming into sort of a heavier zone. And I think the first time I ever went on a diet was the second grade. My mother was a chronic dieter. She was always overweight, quote unquote, very much up and down. Never really got to a point where she was super thin or even really thin. And so we started dieting together since the second grade. And I could tell that, like, it was my mother's mission to have us both lose weight. You know, this was it. We were going to show the world that the world could not control us, that the world could not label us, the world could not put us into a black box and say, you're not welcome here. And we were going to show that by getting thin. You know, it was like, come hell or high water, this was happening. And it was really a bonding experience for us. It was something that we did together. And you know, it wasn't like my mother ever came to me and said, okay, I'm going to go on Herbalife. Why don't you do it with me? She didn't ever push it on me, but I knew that I was fat and I knew that she was dieting. And so she didn't have to necessarily say anything to me. It just sort of naturally occurred. I would go to her and I'd be like, oh, I'm noticing that you've lost some weight. What are you doing? Put me on board. Let's do it together. So I remember sweating to the oldies with my mother in our living room at 5 a.m. when I was 10 years old. Every single day. Richard Simmons was like, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 3. My mom never remarried. Richard Simmons became my new father. He was in my house more than any other man. So I knew him like by heart and I just adored him. But, you know, we did a lot of diets together. We did Weight Watchers. We did Herbalife, like I said. We did Slim Fast. We did Nutrisystem. We did pills. If there was something out there, we were doing it. And none of it worked. None of it worked. And I continued to, you know, sort of go on my journey as the fat kid in class. You know, I think it was also difficult because I remember there was a boy in my class who was also fat. And then there was one other girl who was even larger than me. But people didn't really pick on her because she was just really quiet and kind of like introverted. She was such a sweet girl. But she didn't really put herself out there. And I put myself out there and I feel as though, I was insistent. I was like, I'm going to be popular. I don't care if I'm fat. I will be popular. I'm meant to be popular. This is what's happening. And I think because I put myself so far out there, it was for, like, I got a lot of, you know, backlash from people. It was kind of like, you know, they had like a whip in their hand. They were like, yeah, you know, stay back, stay in your cage, fat girl. Go over there. That's where you need to be. You don't belong here. And I was just like this lioness, you know, just trying to get out of this cage of like, no, I belong with the popular people. I don't care if I'm fat. Let me just say too that like the food in my house, people have this perception of when you're fat that your house is just filled with nothing but ding-dongs and ring-dings and all anything that dings and dongs and whatever. That was not the case at my house. We were, I guess you could say, like, relatively healthy. I mean, we weren't allowed any junk food whatsoever. No sugar cereal. It was Raisin Bran, like, till the cows came home. Definitely no cookies unless we begged. I remember going over to friends' houses. Like, Wheat Thins would be a trip, like, a total trip for me. I mean, if somebody had Wheat Thins at their house, I was there. Oreos especially, that was an extra about 10 points. I would show up at your house, you know, 20 minutes earlier if I knew you had Oreos. In fact, if I knew you had Oreos, I cared more about going to your house to be able to eat your Oreos than I did to be able to hang out with you. Like, your Oreos and me, it was on. We had a date and you were just going to be the third wheel, but whatever. So yeah, we ate regular family meals. You know, we had spaghetti, we had chicken and broccoli, we had barbecue, we had I don't know. I mean, just like what everybody else had. It really wasn't that different. It wasn't, you know, we rarely went out to fast food. Fast food was not even that big of a deal back then as I think it is today. But I barely ever remember going to fast food, and I just remember that when we did, it was always Burger King because my mom couldn't stand McDonald's, and I would get upset about that because McDonald's was the more popular one, and, you know, I always had to be the more popular, so I would get frustrated with that. But I did like that I got a crown at least when I went to Burger King. That was kind of sweet. So I certainly binged without a doubt just because I couldn't have anything. But I binge on cereal, you know, and you can certainly gain a fair amount of weight if you're eating 20 bowls of cereal, you know, like sitting down in front of DuckTales and Punky Brewster and just mowing your way through a box of Cheerios. It will make you fat. But I would have been heavy anyways. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is that I just remember looking at the foods that I was eating versus looking at the foods that my friends were eating and thinking, well, why am I fat and they're not? I don't understand. How come she has cookies over there? And I put this label on it that, well, she can control herself and you can't. My friend can control herself. She can have the serving size and you can't because you're addicted to food, because you're fat, because you have food issues. I mean, and we're talking, this was me as young as like the third grade thinking these sorts of things. You know, that labeling process that goes on, that separation, that always wanting to put everybody into their own boxes, including ourselves. It was like, I'm in this box. I'm in the fat box. I can't control myself around food. I can't have two Oreos. She's in the thin box. She can have two Oreos. If she has four Oreos, it's okay because she's still in the thin box. It doesn't affect her body the same way. I'm fat. I was born to be fat. I deserve to be fat. I deserve to be fat. That was a big phrase that I don't think I've ever gotten over. The I deserve to be fat, you know. When you're young, when you're a kid, you tell yourself these things because you just can't make sense of what's going on. You're not a grown-up. You don't understand. And we're also in a society today where we're not led to understand, you know, unless we're following God. I wasn't a kid who grew up in a world of Jesus. That wasn't, I mean, I went to church, but I didn't really become a follower of Jesus until I was in my mid-20s. And at that point, I had experienced so many ups and downs with food and my body weight. I mean, God certainly came in and healed a lot, but the deserve to be fat was really heart-wrenching. It was a heart-wrenching thought to have at such a young age and to continue with that thought pattern, you know, for my whole life. Because I think that when we get handed something in life that's a challenge, rather than looking at it as, this is an area where God wants to show up magnificently in my life, we look at it as a handicap, you know. And so we look at it as though it's something we brought upon ourselves. And that's what I did. I looked at it as though it was my fault. I deserve to be fat. And I have to find a way out of this. So in high school, I ended up going on this diet. It was a pill. And I'm not going to say what pill it was because it doesn't matter. But it was the first time I ever got in touch with my hunger and my fullness cues was from being on this pill. And maybe it was just me in my mind, like, thinking that I was understanding for the first time. I'm not really sure. But it was the first time that I started to feel like I knew when I was hungry and feel like I knew when I was full. Because for the longest time, I didn't see. I was always eating. I was always eating, and if I wasn't eating, I was thinking about eating because it was such a social thing, and I loved being around people. You know, I looked forward to lunch, not because I couldn't wait to eat the cake, which, of course, I couldn't wait to eat the cake because I couldn't get cake at home, but also because I couldn't wait to see my friends. You know, breakfast, great, got to spend some time with my mom. It wasn't just about being able to eat the bowl of cereal or have the eggs and bacon. It was that I got to spend time with my mother or, you know, the 5 minutes out of the day that I could actually see my brother. You know, food was more than just food. It was a social thing for me. And I've always loved being around people. I've always been a social person. And I've always connected those two things. And if I wasn't eating when I was socially around people, I was eating by myself because I was lonely. I've always been someone who has needed a lot of people around me. You know, I have three kids. I popped them out 2 years apart. I have a set of twins and then an elder one, all boys. And my husband and I still talk about having a fourth. I like a party. I like to have a lot of people around me. And, you know, so when I was home and my mom was working and my brother was off doing his thing, he was older than me and not, you know, didn't really feel like playing Cabbage Patch Kid dolls with me, which I still hold a grudge against him to this day for that one. But I was alone. So, yeah, you know, eating was my friend, my companion. So in high school, I finally learned how to figure out when I was hungry and when I was full. And a huge part of how I did that was really tuning into what I was eating. And I didn't know it at the time that that's what I was doing. I had no clue. These words were not around. Like tuning into what you're eating, mindfulness, intuitive eating, those were not things that were, you know, in my daily vocabulary. But I just knew that I wasn't tuning in to what I was eating. I knew that. I knew I wasn't paying attention to what I was eating. And I just thought, well, if I'm not paying attention, let's see what happens if I do. I'm just going to, you know, give myself a chance to find out what happens if I pay more attention to feeding this side of me that does enjoy, you know, like exercise. I was never somebody who was on a baseball team. I mean, I did go on a baseball team, but nobody like wanted me there. I was never good. I was never good at any sport. I'm not a team player. I'm, you know, mano y mano, like just me, baby. That's it. So, exercise was great for me because it's like, yeah, go for a rollerblade or hop on the treadmill or go for a run or whatever. And I didn't have to like beat anybody. I didn't have to team up with anybody. I loved it. And so tuning in, I figured this kind of stuff out for myself. And I also figured out, what worked for me. I really did pay attention to when I was full and when I was hungry and I was able to figure that out because I didn't let myself get distracted by the patterns that I had been following before. There was no judgment. There was no rush. It wasn't like I was put on this diet, you know, like all the diets I had done before where, okay, you have 1 month, you got to lose 7 pounds and we're going to weigh you every week. And here's your booklet to write down exactly what your inches are. I mean, all that stuff, I didn't have to participate in it because I was on like my own plan, which was just going with the flow, just seeing how I feel, maybe including some more vegetables, seeing how I feel, maybe not having, you know, so much of the chips and things like that. And I'm not saying that this is how it works for everybody. I'm not even saying that this is necessarily how, you know, it should be. I'm not saying this is a plan for anybody. I'm just saying like, this is what I did, right? This is what I did. And I started to feel really good. And I ended up dropping a ton of weight. And I have to say that, I mean, of course I felt good that I lost the weight, right? Like we all feel good when we lose weight. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't care. We wouldn't even bother doing it. So I felt good to lose the weight because here's what happened. I lost the weight and I started getting attention from boys. I lost the weight and I started getting attention from teachers. I started getting attention from classmates, underclassmen, upperclassmen, girls in my dorm, my mother, my mother's friends. Suddenly, I was somebody. Suddenly, I wasn't just this fat, lazy, whatever girl who was going to probably end up, you know, selling shoes in, you know, selling shoes out of the back of a gas station or something. I don't know. Just suddenly, I was somebody. And that felt really good. And I wanted to keep that going. But here's the thing that was so messed up. I didn't feel like a somebody. I still felt like I deserve to be fat. I still felt like the biggins. No one talked to me about the mental capacity it takes to maintain a new body. And that's whether you're thin and all of a sudden you've gotten really heavy or whether you're heavy and all of a sudden you've gotten thinner. Like either way, it's a big change. Living in your physical body takes a lot. And when you don't understand how to do that in terms that mirror what society is giving to you, it's hard. I never got used to it. I never, ever, ever got used to it. And in fact, I think I hated myself more thin than I did fat, because at least fat, I could be myself. I knew who I was. People were not judging me based off of my looks. I knew if someone was being my friend, it's because they really liked me. I knew if a boy was talking to me, it's because he was really interested in what I had to say. It wasn't because, you know, he wanted to be my boyfriend or something like that. When I was thin, it was a whole different ballgame. You know, I had all of a sudden these sexual advances that I had to, like, try to figure out. And I had, you know, just even the looks, like the weird slimy looks that you would get from, or at least that I would get from teachers. And I'm not just talking male teachers. Like, I'm talking female teachers. It was kind of like this bitterness, you know. They saw you accomplishing something that they themselves had not been able to accomplish or wanted to be able to accomplish. And I'm not saying this was every teacher, but I just got this sense from other women. Like, I remember some girls in my dorm telling me, oh, you need to slow down. You need to stop exercising. You're getting too thin. And at that point, I really wasn't too thin. Like, I never got to be the girl who got to be too thin. Although, believe me, I tried, but I never hit it. So what ended up happening? Okay, everyone wants to know. Oh, you got thin. So then what happened? So then I got an eating disorder. Surprise, surprise. I ended up going to New York City after high school, graduated, moved there to be an actress, became friends with tons of gorgeous models who really were thin. And I ended up getting bulimic. I just, you know, because I couldn't not eat. That just, I've never been the kind of person, at least at this moment in my life, who could just completely avoid food. So that was me, and it didn't do anything. I didn't lose any weight. I didn't gain any weight. I just kind of stayed the same, but I was still pretty miserable. And of course, now I was even more miserable because I had an eating disorder that I was hiding from everybody. And then I ended up getting mono, which made me sleep for like 2 weeks straight. So I ended up losing even more weight, and I was so excited about it. Got more compliments from people, even though I lost it because I was super, super sick. And the bulimia kicked in hardcore. I first started off on a diet that was ridiculous. I like hardly was eating it at all. And then I got so hungry from doing that that I knew I had to go back to just being bulimic because I couldn't hold out for long on the restriction aspect of it. So at this point, I was living in an apartment with my best friend at the time on in Soho. And she would go off to college. I had dropped out because I just, you know, between my eating issues and my learning disabilities, it just was not anything I wanted to continue doing. I dropped out and I was just full on pursuing my acting career. And by full on pursuing, I think it was more like I was full on pursuing my bulimia because my roommate would go to school during the day and I had a little delicatessen across the street from me and I would probably visit that place 5-6 times a day. And I would get the Entenmann's chocolate cakes and I would get the Entenmann's donuts. I mean, if it was Entenmann's, it was mine. And I would buy all of it and I would go back to my apartment and I would eat all of it and then I would get rid of all of it, you know, the not so pretty way. And then I would go back out and do it all over again. And I would do it while I was watching French films. I don't know why I had an obsession with French films. I think maybe I thought, well, if I can at least learn French while I'm doing this, like something good will come of it. I don't know. But that was me for like 2 years. I looked awful. I had dark circles under my eyes, which I didn't even see at the time. Everyone else saw it. I didn't see it. My weight did not change. At this point, it was no longer about my weight. I mean, now we were just in the I hate myself zone. I hate myself. I don't belong here. I don't know who I am. Very uncomfortable. And I just want to remind listeners too at this point that like I still didn't really have a relationship with Jesus at this point. I knew who he was and I believed in him as the Son of God, but I certainly did not reach him as for like, you know, for helping me. So I maintained my bulimia I was bulimic for about 10 years. So from 1998 until I turned about 28, almost 29, I was bulimic. And it got lighter as the years went on. Or I would take breaks from it through fasting, and I would tell myself that I was fasting for health. You know, I went 2 weeks one time without eating anything at all. I was literally just drinking diet cherry soda, which I felt was some kind of nutrients because it had cherry in it. I felt horrible. I remember reading Chinese food menus with my girlfriends in their apartments like it was porn, you know, just, I mean, not that I've paid much attention to porn, of course not, but I'm just saying, I don't know how, what other word to describe it. Like I was salivating, you know, like I just, and I would pray that they would order some Chinese so that I could just watch them eat it. You know, I mean, and this is how depraved I was. This is where I was at in my mind. And it all started from just trying to get thinner and compete with these gorgeous models who did not have the body type that I have whatsoever. So finally, I just ended up breaking free from the bulimia. I went on a trip out west. I moved from New York City out west with a girlfriend of mine. And I just, at this point, I was really starting to get into God and picking up the Bible and reading it all the time. Because I was just so darn lost. I was so lost. I didn't have anywhere to turn. And I just, I don't know, something was like, you got Jesus. That's it. That's all you got. You need to start talking to him. So that was it. I picked up the Bible and I started reading more about God and building my faith. And that brought me some peace. And that it brought me enough peace and it brought me enough joy to at least decide that I was worthy enough to put down this eating disorder. I didn't recognize dieting as an eating disorder yet. I still only saw the bulimia as my problem. But it was enough to say, no, I don't need to live this life anymore. This isn't who I am. So I slowed down quite a bit. And then when I met my husband, we fell in love. And I just was like, I can't be married and having this be a secret. I don't want to go into marriage like that. So I was able to drop it completely. And it was completely through God. I mean, it was 100% through God. He just took the urge to binge and purge away from me completely. So that part was great. But then, I mean, I still suffered a lot with my body image. And I still wanted to get thinner. I never felt that I was thin enough. I was always, always, always trying to get thinner. So I did all sorts of diets again. You know, I did Weight Watchers. I did Beachbody. Nothing I did ever seemed to work for super long. You know, I always just kind of kept creeping up on the scale. And then what happened is after I had twins, I could not lose this last chunk of weight. And it drove me madly insane. I went back to everything I had ever done before that ever worked or semi-worked or whatever, and nothing worked this time. And so I was weighing myself twice a day. I was taking my measurements 2-3 times a day. I was taking water pills to help myself like de-bloat 50 million times a day. I was doing everything. I was working out 6 days a week. If I went on vacation, I worked out. I didn't miss a workout. That was like my thing. Could not miss a workout. And I became a complete wreck. And just one day I was in my room getting ready for work and I'd gotten on the scale and I wasn't happy with what I saw and I took my measurements and nothing had changed. And I just laid down on my bed and I started crying. And I just thought, there has got to be more to life than this. This cannot be my only goal in life, to drive myself mad trying to see some specific number on the scale or trying to be able to put on some certain size in my pants. So I was working as a wine sales rep at the time and I was in my car. I wonder if there's some kind of like podcast out there for people who are just, you know, really done with diets. They're sick of it. And there was. I discovered this amazing podcast called Food Psych, which completely changed my life. I mean, it changed my life. It's a podcast where a woman interviews a whole bunch of ex-dieters. Most of them are health coaches, and they tell their stories about how, you know, they were led to not want to diet anymore and what their lives are like now. And it was so inspirational for me. And I would just drive around listening to this and realizing that this is God. God has brought me here. It was, you know, I would pray to God when I wasn't losing the weight after the babies were born in the pregnancy. I would pray, oh, help me lose the weight. Help me lose the weight. What am I doing wrong? Which diet do I need to be doing? Why isn't this working? And then slowly I got to a point where I said, okay, you know what, God, there's a reason that I'm not losing this weight because this just doesn't make sense to me. And so I need you to tell me what that reason is. I need to figure that out. And so I'm just going to sort of ride this thing until we get to some conclusion. And I think I'm still trying to figure it out in some way. But he brought me to the podcast that, you know, changed everything. And I realized, yeah, this is a new journey. This is it. I'm putting dieting down. I'm not doing it anymore. My life is not about how much I weigh. I cannot put another drop of energy into that. I don't care what that means. I need to start figuring out who I am, what I look like on my own without some sort of diet telling me. And while I was listening to this podcast, it's where I discovered what intuitive eating was, and it just sounded so spot on for me and like amazing. I mean, basically, it's just listening to your body around what it wants for food. And I will never forget when I was sitting on the couch with my husband telling him about intuitive eating and trying to explain it to him. I said, well, it's just, you know, you just listen to your body, you know, for your hunger and your fullness cues and kind of understand what your body is telling you that it wants to be fed, like if it's vegetables or if it feels like having a cheeseburger. And my husband says to me, well, isn't that just like eating? And I thought, wow, how nice it must be, you know, to, yeah, just naturally already, yeah, that's just eating. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's what I'm learning to do. I am learning how to just eat again because I've completely lost touch with my body and I do not remember how to eat like a normal person. I don't know what that is. So it was really exciting for me. And it was God who completely brought me on this journey. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. When I look back, I see step by step exactly what he was working to do for me. I mean, it was time. It was time. I'm personally 38 years old, and I've been dieting since before I was 8. So, I mean, basically my entire life. And it's never done anything for me in a really positive way, except lead me to this point in my life where I am no longer dieting and learning to listen to my body for what it wants to eat. And so in order to listen to my body, it means I have to tune into God. And it's not just around what I'm eating. It's about how I feel around my body too. You know, I do have mornings still where I wake up and I'm like, I don't know, I'm not feeling that great. You know, I feel quote unquote fat. But it's like my own health coach, who is amazing, had told me one time, you know, she's like, fat is not a feeling. There's no feeling fat. She's like, what are you really feeling? And I think about that a lot. I mean, I don't feel fat, quote unquote, anymore, really. You know, I'm much better along on my own journey. But what I have learned is that every feeling I've ever had about myself that led to dieting was not a good one. And every feeling I've ever had about myself while I was dieting always was teetering on the negative. You know, it was, unless I lost weight, I was a failure. And it's a horrible way to go through life. It's a horrible way to feel about yourself, that the only way you can feel good about yourself is if you're seeing physical changes in your body. It's not how we're meant to do things, you know, and I've had to work around exercise as well, you know, and learning that exercise needs to be something I do because it makes me feel good. And it can't be something I do based solely off what I end up looking like after a certain period of time from doing the exercise. I love to see muscles on me. I love to see the hard work that I've put in to being stronger. But it is no longer because it proves something about who I am as a person to anybody. It's no longer because it says, yeah, I work out. I'm not better than anybody. I don't feel like I'm more important of a person. I'm more successful of a person because I'm walking around with muscles. You know, I feel better about myself because I've put in the work for myself because I enjoy being strong. But I also have moments where I take a real long break from the gym and I don't see those muscles as much. And I'm just as happy with myself. I'm just as fulfilled. And that's the important thing. You know, you can want to exercise. You can want to eat vegetables all day long if that's what your body is telling you that it wants. But what counts is, how do you feel about yourself when you're not eating the vegetables all day long? How do you feel about yourself when you're not going to the gym 6 days a week? You know, if you're not feeling that great about yourself, if you're having, quote unquote, a fat day because of those things, you have to look at why. Why is that? And God's been helping me do that, you know, because God loves and accepts me no matter what I look like. And so that means I have to do the same thing, right? Because we're made in the image of God. And we're supposed to be mirroring, this is a hard word, I'm going to say it slowly, we're supposed to be mirroring who God is in us, who Christ is in us. And it's love, you know, it is totally love. And it's love away from idolatry. And I think that that's the hard part with our bodies and with anything, really. To love something the way God loves it without it becoming an idol. And without something becoming an idol, it means it has humbleness around it. It means it has purity around it. It means it has faith and acceptance. And the acceptance is probably the biggest part, right? Because I think acceptance is just another word for faith. It's just, it's being willing to take what God has given you and not feel like you have to change it. So that's like kind of what I started working on with my, you know, godly approach to food, was just recognizing that if I wanted to have a cookie, I could have a cookie. And if I felt like I needed to have 5 cookies, or I caught myself having 5 cookies, then it meant I had to sit down for a moment and talk to God about what was going on. You know, it takes work. It's not just like, oh, okay, I'm not going to diet anymore. That's not how it happens. It's really about getting to the core. And this was something that I learned when I started working with my own health coach. I actually was really led to this woman by God, because what I was actually seeking out was someone to help me with my business. And she's a mentor with that. She also helps women, you know, grow their business. So I wanted to grow my business. And at the time I was selling weight loss, but I didn't really want to be doing that anymore. I didn't really want to be selling the weight loss because it was no longer lining up with what my values were. So I felt kind of stuck, you know? So I reached out to her and she said, all right, well, first let's talk about where you're at with your food. And at this time, I was still, you know, in diet culture. I mean, at this time, I had not eaten carbs in years, and I was deathly afraid of them. So I told her, I said, well, everything's going great with the intuitive eating. I just don't really eat carbs. And I had convinced myself that the reason I wasn't eating carbs is because my body didn't do well with carbs. And it doesn't do that great with carbs in the sense that, like, I do get bloated and I do, you know, there's certain physical aspects I've noticed that don't make me feel so great with carbs. But that doesn't mean I never have a carb. But back then, it did mean that. And so I was talking to her about it, and I was giving her my own background on what my situation was with food and everything like that growing up. And she said something to me that was so life-changing. She says, well, you're addicted to dieting. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this woman is spot on. I am addicted to dieting. I never even thought that that was how it was, because I always saw myself as, well, I'm just trying to get healthier. I just want to be healthy, you know, and healthy means not eating crap. And I didn't realize that, no, I was addicted to making sure that I did not get fat, aka I dieted constantly. And it's not like what I'm saying is, so the opposite end of the spectrum is eating as many chips as I want and not caring if I put on, you know, X amount of pounds. It doesn't mean that because you're not dieting, you're willing to gain all this weight. It doesn't mean you're even going to gain all this weight. What it means is that you recognize that you have a major fear of fat and you have a major need to control things that are going on in your life, and you use your food as a way to do that. And that's what I recognized about myself. I had been using food and exercise as a way to control all these other things in my life that I could not control. And of course, this isn't something that I recognized like the first, you know, session that I had with my coach. This came over time. I mean, and she was so valuable, as she was worth every single penny. I want to say that 100%. But it was more money than number one I had, and more money than I thought I was going to have to give. But, you know, she helped me realize that it was either I work with this woman and really get my food 100% straight, or I just keep going on bumbling around, you know, because I know that God is with me in it, and I know that He wants me to heal, and that He wanted me to heal at that time. And I just felt such peace around it when it came to the decision of, okay, am I going to spend this money to work with this woman? It wasn't this like neurotic, sweaty, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? I just said, you know what, God? You know what my financial situation is. And if this is what you want me to be doing, you're going to help me find a way. And there, that was it. There was peace. I was calm, and I was able to find a way. And so it made all the difference for me. She opened up my eyes to so many things that just reading the intuitive eating book couldn't do. And I just recognized how deep this problem was. And that's when I really started seeing that God was the only way I was going to absolutely be able to heal, because it brought me on a spiritual level. This was not just, okay, now you've got to start listening to your body about what to eat. This was like, okay, now you need to start talking to God about why you feel you have to diet in the first place. Now you need to start asking God to even help you figure out what foods you want, because you're so confused around eating. Now you need to start tuning into God for helping you to accept His grace, accept His love, accept His help, accept His plan, accept His path. You know, I am not an acceptor. I've never been an acceptor. I'm someone who wants to control all the time, trying to figure out, wheels spinning constantly. What do I do next? How do I fix this? How do I solve this problem? I do not go to God and say, okay, God, here's what's going on. Can you help me accept this? That's not me. You know, I like to try everything first my own way. And then if I'm really struggling, maybe I'll go say a prayer. And I've gotten so much better with that, working through this situation with the Lord. I have really grown so much in my faith. And because of that, because I've been willing to accept where He wants me to go, there is a lot more peace around my food. I'm relaxed, you know. I go out to eat with friends now, and if I want a beer, I'll get a beer. It's not like, oh God, the carbs and beer. I don't know, I can't handle it. I'll get a beer. You know, and I say, all right, so maybe tomorrow I wake up a little bit more bloated. Big deal. It'll be gone within a few days. I'm not going to worry about it. Or I'll get the cheeseburger and I'll decide, do I feel like having the bread or not? But it's not weight related. It's like, because sometimes too much bread, you know, I just feel a little gross after. You know, and then there's days where I literally just eat sourdough with butter for dinner because that's what I feel like having. And it's amazing. It's so freeing. It is, because now I'm getting to enjoy this bounty of food that God has provided for us that I had been restricted for so long. And then as I started to read the Bible, it was a whirlwind after that. I was getting scripture after scripture after scripture around food and how we're supposed to be treating it, and how God uses it as a form of love for us. You know, reading about milk and honey, reading about cream and olive oil, reading about figs and nuts and berries and apples and, you know, harvests and ceremonial feasts and the wine, and just, you know, and thinking to myself, yeah, man, this is it. This is where it's at. Like, God has provided us this beautiful, amazing food for us to eat and enjoy, and we need to be tuning into that and not restricting anymore about it, or overindulging ourselves because we have been restricting, or we don't feel good about ourselves that day. You know, everything is made for us to be going to God first, and God is the one who feeds us. You know, God is the one who provides for us. And we need to be taking our feelings and our emotions to God first before we sit down in front of that plate of food and decide whether or not we're going to use that as our means of deciding who we are that day. So that being said, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the scripture that I had mentioned before in Luke 12:29 that says, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it." Do not worry about it. Whoa. I mean, all I ever did was worry about it. And I never realized that I had set my heart on what I was going to eat or drink. But I had. Because anything that you put so much energy to in your day is setting your heart on it. When you wake up and the first thing you do is think about, okay, what's my weight today? Let me jump on that scale. Let me take all my clothes off so there's not an ounce of extra weight on me and get on that scale. When you do that, when you're taking measurements of yourself after a huge sweat session at the gym, you know, when you're biting your nails down to the quick because you can't decide whether or not you should have the salad with the French fries because you're dying for those truffle fries, but, you know, you don't want to fall off the wagon. You don't want to leave your diet. That is setting your heart on what you will eat. That is setting your heart on what you're going to drink. Should I have the beer or should I have the glass of wine? I'd really rather have the beer, but the wine has less calories. Should I have a margarita or should I have a vodka soda? Should I have a juice? Should I have a soda? Or should I just go with the water? You know, all of that is setting your heart on it. You're not supposed to be worrying about it because God's like, just chill out. If you let me take control of it, you will not fail. But you've got to let me take control of it. That's what God says. You have to let me be the one in control. And when you are on a diet, it is not God who is in control. It is you trying to be in control. I mean, God's always in control. But when you're on that diet, it is you really trying to be in control. That's what's happening there. And so this is a scripture that I just come back to. This is my main one, just always going back to it because it's the root, it's the heart of everything for me around food and my body, especially the end part that says, do not worry about it. Because for so long, that's all I did. My life was worrying about it. And this is so plain and clear, you know, and I think that God being the God that he is, the eternal God, you know, the past, the present, the future, the great I am, we always have to remember that when we're reading scriptures, because I think a lot of times we can read them and put them in a box, like we like to put everything else in a box, and feel as though, oh, well, this was written during a time when, you know, there were no fat people. Or this was written during a time when they were talking about ceremonial foods. You know, you think God didn't know that dieting was going to be an issue for women in 2018, in 1925, in 1973? You think that he didn't know that? You think he didn't know the emphasis that humans were going to be placing on the female body and what it needed to look like? Of course he did, you know, of course he did. And we have to remember that when we're reading these scriptures, and we have to be willing to let him open our minds up to what he's trying to say to us today in the very present moment through these scriptures, because it's important and it's how we're going to heal and it's how we're going to get through our lives. So I just want to end the podcast today by reminding you, just like it says in Luke 12:29, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Do not worry about it. You have other things that you are supposed to be worrying about. Like, are you loving yourself today? Are you letting God into your heart? Where can you be putting your focus to be a help to somebody else? How are you helping another person? Put those things first. And I'm just going to end today in prayer by saying, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us together here with your Holy Spirit guiding us. And God, we know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Help us, Lord, to focus in on you today in this moment. Help us to seek you first around what we should be eating.
Help us to seek you first around how we should be loving ourselves, Lord. Remind us that you are our King and we are your child. And this is a journey we're on, God. And we just pray that you continue to lead us on this journey and help us to be open to the steps that you want us to be taking and not be afraid. There are things that come up that we see as challenging for us, like we just can't do it, we're not going to make it, we don't have the abilities. We pray, God, that you would open up doors for us there and help us to take a step out in faith. We love you so much, Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopek, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.CourtneyKopek.com. Have a blessed day. I see the changes.